Let me introduce you David and Hannah Owens, and missionaries to Argentina on deputation at this time. I'll go ahead and turn the rest of this time over to you by 8 o'clock and just dismiss when we're done.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Well, good evening. It's good to be with you folks. My name is David Owens. This is my wife, Hannah, and we are both missionaries to Argentina, and she's leaving me. Okay. Okay, you may be seated. And we are just thrilled to be here. And as Pastor said, we are both second-generation missionaries. And we both grew up on the mission field. And by the way, I'm just so thankful to be here tonight. Last night we were in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And how many of you have been to Myrtle Beach? It's pretty far. we had the ocean breeze. It was really nice. But we are thrilled and happy to be here. It's a blessing. And I'm usually a little slow, but tonight I might be a little slower than usual. but I had the opportunity to grow up on the mission field. My parents are missionaries there for about 30 years. And my dad is actually from Decatur, Illinois, and my mom is from Mexico. So you might have been wondering, brother, your last name's Owens, but you have English. You look a little Spanish. Well, my dad, he went to Bible college and he couldn't find a wife that would take him. You know, he would ask out a girl, "You want to go out with me?" "No." "You want to go out with me?" "No." So after like 7 or 8 no's, he said, "Well, the Lord called me to the mission field, so I'm just gonna go single." But there at language school in Mexico, in Querétaro, Mexico, not only did he begin to learn the Spanish, but he also found a wife. Amen? So they've been there almost 30 years. I had the opportunity to grow up on the field, and grew up thinking I was saved, but I wasn't. And at the age of 17 is when I personally trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And it hasn't been the same since then. He has changed my life. And my wife here, she spent 8 years in Mexico City. Her parents were missionaries there in Mexico City. Then they returned to establish Spanish-speaking churches in the Georgia, South Carolina area. And now they're in South Texas. So she was saved at the age of 7. We met at Bible college, and like I always say, she wouldn't stop following me. No, just kidding. It was the other way around, amen. I was following her, and we met, and I'm so thankful that the Lord brought her into my life. And at that time, at Bible college, I surrendered my life to the Lord and just said, "Lord, whatever you want me to do." And I recommend that to any young person, any person tonight, to just surrender your life to the Lord, just whatever He wants you to do. And I did that, and He could have led me anywhere to do anything, but I remember it was at a missions conference, just like tonight, my junior year, and He said, I just remember as clear that day, and He said, "David, I called you, I prepared you, and now I'm calling you to go back to Argentina and serve me there." So we are excited, we are thrilled about getting back there. And did you know that Argentina is over 2,000 miles long from north to south? It can take up to 60, 70 hours to travel from north to south. It's a huge country. There are 23 states or provinces in Argentina. And the need is that 7 of those provinces do not have one single Bible preaching church. A church that is preaching the gospel and sound doctrine. And 7 of those provinces have only one. You know, just imagine having to travel all the way to Indiana, travel all the way to Iowa to find a Bible preaching church. So the need is great in that country. And at this time, I will show a video that shows a little bit more about the country and about our burden for Argentina. And after that, we'll open up for some questions, if that's okay, Pastor. So thank you for having us tonight.
It's just another busy day. A day of work, school, or simply catching up with friends. In the capital and many other cities in Argentina, it's just another day. A day of empty souls flooding the streets looking for something or someone to fill their void.
They don't know that Jesus is the only one that can fill the emptiness in their hearts. There are many who do not believe in God, while others are trusting in good deeds and hoping for the best. What they really need is a relationship with Jesus Christ. It would not just be another day if they would accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. From the subtropics in the north to the Sierra de Fuego in the southern tip, Argentina is over 2,000 miles long. To the western border, you can see the Andes Mountains. Then moving to the central region forms the vast pampas. Its rich soil is occupied by many grazing cattle and also used to grow grain. The Spanish and Italians were the pioneer settlers in this vast country, giving it diversity and the largest Jewish population in Latin America. Each people group added to the country's lifestyle, and Castilian Spanish became the official language spoken in Argentina. Argentines are full of life, love to talk, and have a nightlife culture. With Argentina being the second largest exporter of red meat, the asado, which is a traditional cookout, takes place on weekends. The drink mate is a popular tea with deep roots in Argentines' everyday life. It is sipped from a gourd through a metal straw and is never drank alone. Rather, it is passed around with friends. Of course, Argentines are well known to be passionate about their soccer or football.
The Bible says in Mark chapter 16, verse number 15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." This command was given by Jesus to his disciples before he ascended into heaven. This mandate was given over 2,000 years ago, and it is just as important today as it was then. It hasn't changed, and the need is still great. We as Christians are commanded to have an impact not only in our Jerusalem, but also unto the uttermost. We want to begin doing that starting in Argentina and extending into the world. Argentina has 23 states or provinces. 7 of these provinces do not have one single church that is preaching the gospel and sound doctrine, and 7 of these have only one. There are cities and towns of 50,000, 100,000, and even 500,000 that do not have one single church. This represents millions of souls that are dying without one opportunity to hear the gospel. We must go before it's too late. The scriptures clearly say the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. We will begin by starting our first church in Córdoba, Argentina. Córdoba is the second largest city in Argentina with a population of 2 million and the province a population of 3.5 million. It is located right in the heart of Argentina and strategic to reach other parts of the country. Córdoba is in desperate need of churches that preach the gospel and sound doctrine. We want to see people saved, discipled, and established in the faith. Our desire is to start Bible institutes to train pastors and leaders. Our goal is to train leaders so that they can go out and start churches, therefore reaching more souls for the Lord. Not only do we want to train these men, but also equip them so that they will be able to start churches and train other leaders. We endeavor to plant Bible preaching, local Baptist churches throughout Córdoba, Argentina, and surrounding regions. Each church that we seek to plant should be autonomous and self-governing. This church planting vision is not only for this province, but to extend all across the country. Not only do we want to start the churches, but also assist them as they move forward for the Lord.
Would you consider partnering with us as we reach lost souls in Argentina? Will you help us by starting churches that spread the gospel throughout the country? You can make a difference in the people of Argentina.
Alrighty. Well, thank you for that, brother. And he liked it so much, he wants to see it again, right? At this time, if you would maybe have any questions, I would do my best to answer those questions, questions about the field, Argentina, or about the people there, or about our ministry in the future. Any questions that you might have? Yes, sir. I'm sorry? Colts? Yes, sir. There are a lot of Mormons, Jehovah Witnesses, that are really making strong efforts to propagate their false doctrine. So there is, there are cities that, don't even have a Catholic church, little towns out there in the country, but they have a Mormon church, They have a temple of the Jehovah Witnesses. And that's really sad because, we haven't reached those areas. So, but yes, there is a lot of cults. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What's your plan to reach so many people? How are you going to reach the soul of Christ?
Yes, sir. Our plan is to go to a city called Córdoba, which is right in the middle of the country. It's 8 hours north of the capital, Buenos Aires. It's the second largest city there in the country. And we want to begin there by starting our church there. We want to start our first church plant there in Córdoba. And then from there, we want to grow the church and see people saved, discipled, established. And then with the Bible Institutes, which would be 2 to 3 nights a week, we want to gather men and develop them, train them, teach them. And then from there, have those men to take the work. So one of those men would take the work and then leave it with him so that it becomes self-governing. Okay? So that church is established and then we would move on to another part of the city, Córdoba, or even another city, and continue the same process. So we want to reach people by the start of local Baptist churches in those areas. So
advertise, or you go door-to-door?
Yes, sir. We plan to go door-to-door. What we plan to do is 2 months before our starting day, our first day, we want to begin to advertise and, of course, pass out flyers wherever the neighborhood that the church is in. We want to saturate that area and invite people to that first service and continue doing that. And we pray and work that the Lord will grow his church. Amen. We can go out, we can do this, but the Lord is the one that will give the increase. So we are depending on him and trusting in him. But that is our plan. And we pray that the Lord will bless that plan. So. Yes, sir.
David, I know a little bit of your background, your dad's background. Would you mind sharing with these folks the testimony how your dad came to know the Lord, how you worked with him down in Argentina, and
How my dad came to know the Lord? Okay. Well, he grew up in Decatur, Illinois, and he comes from a broken home. He never met his dad. He was adopted, and at the age of 12, I believe, he was going to take his life. He was so depressed. He just wanted to just end it all. And I mean, there were fights and divorces and drinking and all this stuff going on. And he was just tired of it. And he was going to, he always said he was going to slit his wrist, cut his veins or something. But then a member from East Park, there in Decatur, he came by and talked to him, witnessed to him, and then took him on the bus to church, and that's where he got saved. And so we praise the Lord for that. And his life changed completely when the Lord came to his life and just new desires in his life. And I mean, his stepdad, my grandfather, which already passed away, but he would make fun of him. You know, he would do all kinds of jokes and pranks on him because he went to church. And so he had to battle with that, deal with that growing up. But then the Lord just worked in his life, and today he's been on the field for about 29 years. So we are thankful for that. And growing up, I had the opportunity to help him establish church plants in the northern part of Argentina. We plan to go to the central part of Argentina, 8 hours south of where he's at. But we got to work with, of course, visiting and also planning these churches in Argentina. And I got to really be involved with the people there. So it's exciting. We're thrilled about it. I don't know if that answered. Alrighty. These are really good questions. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Are there any other Baptist churches in Cordova? And you know, if there is, do you know the missionaries there?
We will. There is one missionary there. Actually two missionaries. One is retiring, but they're both working in the same church. I would say there's about two churches in that city. It's a city of about 2 million people, and that's a great need. But for us to adapt to that city, primarily for my wife, since hasn't been there, but also for me, and to be under a missionary, we would begin working there for about 6 months to a year with him at that church. And then from there, go to another part of the city and begin that the first church there. So yes, sir. Alrighty. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am.
Do you have any trouble with the government?
No, we do not. So we are very thankful for that. At this time, we have freedom of religion. We can go out, pass out tracts, witness, visit without any restraints. So we are very thankful for that. The government, we actually have a lady president in Argentina, and her name is Cristina. And she is very almost socialist. She was friends with Hugo Chavez and the guy from Bolivia. Not very good people, to say the least. And so right now we do have those freedoms, but the culture in Argentina, there's a lot of atheists also. The Catholic Church is the main religion, of course, there. But the atheists and New Age groups and the culture there is very liberal, very socialist minded. So that's something that is also an obstacle. But we're praying that the Lord will help us in that area. So.
Yes, ma'am. You said your parents started a church in northern Argentina. Is it still up and going?
Yes, ma'am. It still is. It still is. Praise the Lord. We were there last month, actually, with my wife, and it was her first time there in Argentina. And we traveled 3 cities in 3 weeks, and it was 16 hours on a bus. And forget. Sorry, Hannah, but I took her on a bus 16 hours. But we got to see the work there in Argentina. I actually got to preach the second week of December, the anniversary of the church, 26th, I believe, anniversary. And it was just a full house and just, well, it's amazing. And then my dad has a Bible Institute there. And so about 4 to 5 churches, I'm not exactly sure how many, have been, guys have come out of that institute and started in the surrounding provinces. So that would be probably 2 hours from where he's at, 3 hours. So he's kind of working in that area, the northern part. So, and also in the city, within the city, there's three more churches. So his church and then 3 more churches that have been started from that church. So.
Were you born there?
I was born there, yeah.
What's your citizenship?
I have dual citizenship. Because my dad's American, and then I actually have triple citizenship, the heavenly one, and I also have the American one, the Argentine one, and I could have the Mexican one if I wanted to, because of my mom. So I could do the paperwork, so I have dual citizenship. So we're hoping that when we go back to Argentina that I would be able to help out my wife to not go through so much paperwork, and that she will be able to get a residency quicker instead of my family. They had to wait 10 years before they got their residency. So they would have to go out of the country every 3 months and get their paper stamped and then come back. And so they had to go to Uruguay for a time. Then I think they went to Bolivia, and they would have to take a boat for an hour and then get their paper stamped and then come back every 3 months, because it was just a 90-day visa. So, yes, sir.
I know your company has had a lot of financial problems recently. How is the inflation and all that?
Oh, it's terrible. Argentina has hyperinflation. I mean, prices are one thing in the morning, and then at night it's totally different. The economy is very unstable. What has helped Argentina to make it a little more, than the other countries in Central America is that their natural resources there in the country, they have a lot of soybean production in Argentina. I actually worked on a farm out here in Bemet with a friend there, and he would always be listening to the prices of corn and soybean from Argentina and Brazil. And that's in one part of the country. Then lemons, oranges, sugarcane, another part, apples on the south. So there's a lot of natural resources there. But the bad management, the presidency, past presidencies have made it. So the economy right now is really tough, and prices are getting higher, but the incomes of the people are not, so that can create problems. So, yes, sir.
What college and mission board are you
through? Well, what college? Yes, sir. I went to Hollis Anderson College, Northwest Indiana. That's where I met my wife, and I'm with Macedonia Baptist Missions there in Atlanta, outside of Atlanta, Georgia. And I started a master's degree at that college, but I'm finishing it at Crown College of the Bible, so online. So.
And how much do you need for your support per month? What's it going to cost you per month?
Well, we're looking at a personal fund and also work fund. We're thinking about $2,000 for each. So the work fund would be, of course, the rent of the building, the chairs, everything that is involved with starting a church, because of course there won't be anything there at the beginning. So we plan to get everything going, and with that church. So that would be the work fund and then the personal fund. Yes, ma'am. And we have been on deputation about 6 months. We've been married 8 months, 9 months, no, 8 months, right? I'm going to get in trouble here. 8 months. We just celebrated our 8th month anniversary. And Like I've been saying, my wife has only hit me twice so far, amen. But we've been 6 months on the road. We took a month off there, a month. So we've been about 6.5, 7 months on deputation, and we raised about 20% of the support. So we've got meetings all lined up this year, and we're thankful for that. So, all right. Any other questions tonight? All righty. Well, if you would open your Bibles there to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And just want to thank Pastor McPhillips for having us tonight and for this conference. And just want to thank you all for having us tonight and just asking all those good questions and just being so kind to us. And Romans chapter 10 and verse number 11. The Bible says, therefore, the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, just want to thank you, Lord, for giving us safety tonight, getting us here safely, Lord, and just out in the cold and in the roads, Lord, and just thank you, Lord, that we were able to make it at Grace Baptist here in Taylorville. Thank you, Lord, for Pastor McPhillips and just the work, Lord, and all these dear members that are here tonight on a Monday night. Just thank you for their burden for missions and just their interest. Just help me be a blessing, Lord, an encouragement to them. Just help me say the things that you want me to say. Guide me, Lord. Guide my words and just help me to say what you want me to say, speak through me tonight, and that you might be glorified, Lord, and that we, our hearts might be convicted, Lord, by your word. And all this we pray in your name. Amen. You know, the Bible says there in verse 14 and verse 15, it asks a couple questions, you know, very important questions. The Apostle Paul writing here about in chapter 10, about the need in Israel, how Israel had rejected the gospel. If you notice there in verse number 1, he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Then in verse 9, he talks about how he wished he could be accursed for his brethren. So he had a deep and burning desire for the people of Israel to be saved, for his own people, his brethren, his kinsmen, according to the flesh. But then also, this chapter, I believe, could be applicable to the nations of the world, the Gentiles. We realize that the Lord has a plan for all the nations to hear the gospel, that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, as Christians tonight, we need to increase our faith, increase our vision. I need to increase my faith and my vision for the world. What can I do tonight to be more effective in worldwide missions? You know, realizing that we have an opportunity to make a difference in the lives of people that we may never meet through missions. You know, missions is about taking the gospel throughout the world. And I'm so thankful for churches like yours that send missionaries throughout the world and reach people of every race, every language group, and establish local churches. But, you know, missions is about taking the gospel throughout the world. The Bible says, Mark 16:15, going into all the world and preach the gospel. But, you know, let's not forget that Taylorville, Illinois is part of the world. Amen. Taylorville, Illinois, Central Illinois is part of that world. That's our Jerusalem. but also unto the uttermost, or Samaria, or Judea, but also unto the uttermost. If you would be so kind there to turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And verse number 15. We see that the Apostle Paul was a missionary, just one of the greatest missionaries that ever walked on this earth. And he had a heart for the missions, a passion. But we see here that the Lord, in his conversion, we see here in chapter 9 that the Lord also called him and gave him a special purpose. It says there, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." We see initially that the Jews had the gospel, but they rejected the Lord. And then the Lord opened it up for the Gentiles. And verse 15, the Bible says, "To bear my name before the Gentiles and kings." We see tonight that the gospel has been made available to us tonight, us Gentiles, and also the Gentile nations across the world. But we see the pressure in missions in Romans chapter 10, as we were reading, the zeal and the burden that Paul had for his people, his concern that he had, because they were blinded in legalism. They were blinded in traditions of men. But he wanted them to meet Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. You know, that same burning desire that he had for the Jews was the same one that drove him across the world, across Asia Minor, across Macedonia, and to advance and to establish local churches and preach the gospel throughout those nations. We see that at Ephesus. We see that at Corinth. We see that at Thessalonica. If you would turn there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We see this pressure, this need, this zeal that he had for the people of the world. But my friend, Jesus Christ had that zeal. He had that passion, and he gave himself, for God so loved the world that he gave his Son. And he gave himself on the cross for us. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 9 there, the Bible says, "For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, preached unto you the gospel of God." We labored night and day. Also another passage in Corinth, 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry, it says, laboring with tears. Tears in his eyes because of the need and his desire to preach the gospel. You know, this is a pressure that many preachers in the Old Testament felt. Noah felt it. He was a preacher of righteousness. Jeremiah, the prophet, he felt it. You know, he was discouraged and ready to quit. But the Bible says that the word of God burned in his heart like a burning fire. Jesus Christ in John chapter 9, in verse 4, he said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." You know, as I was talking about that farm that we had out in Bement, well, I didn't have it, but my friend has in Bement. But, you know, he has that harvest, and there is a certain amount of time, and I'm sure you all know this, a certain amount of time that he has to bring in that harvest. And he works, you know, day and night. And a lot of times he employs other people. Come help me. Some of his kids went to college and left him without workers. So he employed other people. Come help me, because I need to get in this harvest. The Bible says the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. How well that illustrates the need around the world. How that we have so much time. The night is coming when no man can work. If you would go back there to Romans chapter 10, we see the pressure in missions. We also see the problem in missions. As we see these questions, the Bible says there in verse 14, "How then shall they call on him who they not believe? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" I am thankful for a church here in Taylorville, in this area, and I'm sure you are too, that preaches the gospel, that has a preacher. You know, many cities, many towns across the world, Scotland, Argentina, would they desire to have a church, have a preacher, have somebody explain the word, expound on the word of God, but they don't. You know, China, don't want to bore you with stats tonight, but China has 516 people groups, 427 unreached. India has 2,500 groups, 2,200 unreached. Mongolia has 22 people groups, 19 are unreached. And we could go on and on. Indonesia, Sudan, Iran, Pakistan, Thailand. These people groups have not heard one time. There's a great need tonight, my friend. Just want to encourage you in that area of missions. The Bible says if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Finally, there in verse 15, the Bible says there we see the pressure, the need in missions. We see the problem, but we also see the priority that we should have tonight. The Bible says, and how shall he preach except they be sent? We need to send more missionaries tonight. We need to send more preachers right here in our United States of America. How many towns right here in Illinois that need a Bible preaching church? But the Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. One of my favorite sports is soccer. Amen. And my wife can testify. And there's this soccer player from Argentina called Leo Messi, and Lionel Messi, and he's considered one of the greatest, best soccer players of this time. But his feet are insured by millions and millions of dollars. So if something happens to his feet, he gets a lot of money. But what does he do? He just kicks the ball. But the Bible says there, how beautiful are the feet of them that give the gospel, that bring glad tidings. My friend, the priority is getting the gospel out, getting on the same page with the Lord, investing in the eternal. In Philippians, Paul writes to the church there, so that fruit may abound to your account. You know, heaven is the safest bank that we can invest in. Just want to close with this phrase that David Livingstone, missionary to Africa, said. He said, I place no value on anything I have or may possess, except in relation to the kingdom of God. If anything will advance the interest of the kingdom, it shall be given away or kept. Only as by giving or keeping it shall most promote the glory of him to whom I owe all my hopes in time or eternity. We need to promote the cause of Christ, further the cause of Christ tonight. You know, will you and I say, Lord, just whatever you want me to do, will you and I surrender tonight and say, Lord, your will, whatever you want for my life, not mine. But just want to ask you those questions. How shall they hear if they don't have a preacher? Just want to ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads, please, at this time. And just want to thank you so much for having us. And just want to ask Pastor if he would come and just close however he desires.
Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for Brother Owens and the ministry that you've laid on his heart. Thank you for the truth and the challenge that was presented to us tonight. And how we might do that here, Lord, even as we were challenged last night to start our day praying for a divine appointment and be willing and obedient to follow through with that as you bring it. We thank you for it, Lord, and we just trust you. We give guidance and for each of us as we go through our days. In Jesus' name, amen.